This podcast is brought to you by RWJ Barnabas Health, the official healthcare provider of Rutgers Athletics.
Welcome into the Inside Rutgers Athletics podcast. I'm Dom Savino. We've got another spring preview episode today. This time we head over to Beighton Field, the home of a team coming off its best season in the Big Ten and looking for even more this year. That, of course, is Rutgers baseball. Let's put it this way. Last year's Big Ten baseball tournament didn't happen. COVID canceled that. If there was a tournament, Rutgers would have qualified for it for the first time since joining the conference. Now, plenty of the guys from last year's team are back. Most of the top hitters and several important pitchers. And that all adds up to the goals of more wins, a higher Big Ten finish, and putting together a resume worthy of the NCAA tournament. It should be an exciting season of Rutgers baseball, and for more on that, we're joined by the head coach, Steve Owens. Well, Coach, the baseball season is almost here, less than 2 weeks away. How are things going at Beighton Field?
Pretty well. I'd say our preparation has been, solid. The health of our players has been pretty good. Some of the guys that we were missing in the fall, with surgeries and rehabilitation are getting closer to being healthy. And many of them are participating in practice now. We had a good individual session, from the 15th on until we got into team segments. And then, we've been utilizing our 20-hour weeks to get some good hard practices in and then scrimmage on the weekends. We haven't been able to scrimmage outside yet. We've been able to practice outside quite often, but we haven't got a good warm weekend day yet. So I think this upcoming weekend, looks like Friday and Saturday minimally, are going to allow us to play outside. That'll be good because it's the last weekend before we actually, get on grass and dirt and play.
Well, we look forward to what will be your third season as the head coach at Rutgers. And this one forecasts to be relatively ordinary in terms of a schedule perspective. I think to your first year cut short because of COVID. Last year, an all Big Ten schedule, you play 44 games against conference opponents. This year, you've got regular non-conference games where you're going to go to the South. You've got an ordinary 24-game Big Ten slate. How has that all affected your preparation or outlook for this season?
Well, it feels good to be preparing for a regular season. And we're excited and we're very hopeful that, that some of the craziness that everybody's gone through in the last couple of years is in the rearview mirror, and we can have a regular season, without testing, without an outbreak, without, major protocol issues to deal with, and without kids, missing time. So we're excited about that. I think everybody is. We're very hopeful that we get to play, a regular 4 or 5 game early weekend schedule on the road against very good non-conference opponents, and then get geared up for that 8-weekend run of Big Ten stuff, and also be able to sprinkle in the Tuesday and Wednesday midweek games to allow your younger players to develop, and also to hopefully be able to add some wins in the column. In the quest for like an at-large type situation at the end.
We look forward to this season, and we're going to talk about the players who are back, the new guys who have just joined the team as well, but just generally, what has you excited about this year?
The number of returning position players that we've been able to have a little bit of time with to develop, to understand, to work on their weaknesses and to get comfortable with them, we're in a good spot with that. 6 or 7 guys that were everyday players. We're excited with some of the things that our younger players as well as our older players did against, very, very difficult competition last year. I feel like we're in a good spot culture-wise. The kids have bought in. They've worked hard. We have a good atmosphere at the field every day. There's just a lot of excitement because I believe that a lot of progress was made last year, think they understand and believe in themselves, which is really important. Confidence is a very important thing for success. And again, it could be a little bit less traditional pitching wise, but offensively, I feel great about where we're at. Defensively, I feel really good about where we're at. I think there's depth to the lineup. There's versatility. There's power. There's guys that don't swing at balls and stay in the strike zone. We can run a little bit. There's some good stuff there. You know, we have a little bit short left-handed hitting wise, but you know, some of the best lineups that I've ever had over the years have been, you know, predominantly one way or the other. But if you can hit, you can hit. And, you know, again, pitching wise, there's a good stable of very good arms, different looks, different, you know, good velocity, some good secondary pitches. We just, you know, we're going to be using these early games instead of having to play, you know, Minnesota or Indiana on weekend one. We're going to be using, you know, these early 15 games or 16 games to get a lot of, try to win, but also to get a lot of questions answered.
Hey, you mentioned it, Steve. So let's go to it with the lineup. Six of the top seven hitters from last year are back. And I'll start with a lot of the veterans, Mike Nyster, Richie Schiekhofer, Danny DiGiorgio, Chris Brito. How valuable is it to have guys who combine for, I don't know, probably a couple thousand plate appearances between the four of them?
It's great. You know, Mike is an extremely consistent player. He puts up numbers. He's a good runner. He doesn't strike out. He was maybe third in the conference in hitting last year. And he'll continue to do the same thing. He's a very, very consistent player. You know, Richie, he's a 300 plus hitter every single year. And we're excited to have him back. Chris Brito has continued to develop and mature each and every year. This year is no different. He's in really good shape. You know, he has very good power. He also can handle the bat and do little things. He's improved his base running and his defense. And so we're looking for a monster year from him. Danny DiGiorgio, you know, we want Danny to stay on the field and just have a great, healthy year. He came back for us as a grad student, physical specimen, really talented, works hard, has taken a leadership role on the team with communication and just how he goes about things every day. He's better at hitting. He's better at defense. He feels great. He's big and strong. So, you know, a lot of those four guys, you know, have played a lot of baseball here. And we're very happy and excited for all four of them to have great years.
I look at also two underclassmen who were really productive last year, Ryan Lasko, Evan Slight. They both come back after earning some all-conference freshman accolades last year. Where do you see them taking a step up?
Yeah, I would put Jordan Sweeney in that group also, because Jordan Sweeney had like seven home runs in his first 50 at bats before he got hit with a pitch and, you know, kind of got sidetracked. But those guys, I mean, Ryan had a dynamic, he's an extremely talented player. I think he's the best defensive outfielder in the conference, with the best arm. He's fast. He's fast twitch kid. He's got power. We want him to utilize all of those great tools that he has, but they also want more consistency, you know, from him with being able to, you know, get RBIs and get hits and steal bases, you know, when things aren't going great for you. So he's got to go up another level with his consistency, but he's an extremely talented player. Evan is very consistent. He gives us another good left-handed bat. He's stronger. He's been locked in this winter and, you know, has some power, but also can handle the bat and do some little things for you. So we're excited about him. And Jordan's just a big monster, very strong. I mean, he routinely is hitting balls, you know, over 100 miles an hour off the bat, you know, wow. Game plays. You know, he needs to cut down on his strikeouts and things like that. But he had a lot of RBIs for his number of at bats last year. And he, you know, again, the last half of the season for him was a struggle because, you know, because of getting hit by the pitch.
You know, when I heard you just break down most of what your lineup will be this year, you said the words power or strong or strength a lot. I think back to last year's team, 48 home runs. That was the most in over a decade for Rutgers baseball, sixth most ever. Do you expect to see that same sort of power output again?
Yeah, we're going to have more than that this year. we have a good hitting team. And, you know, in addition to those players that we just mentioned, we have other players, you know, new players into our program that are either freshmen or transfers that are going to play a big role. Nick Cimillo is a transfer catcher from Manhattan. He's an excellent hitter. He probably has hit the most home runs on our team throughout the fall and the winter and handles the bat great. Tony Santa Maria is another infielder who's dynamic, excellent fielder, good hitter, good runner. Like, couldn't be happier that Tony's here. Josh Carota Grauer is a freshman infielder that is mature beyond his years, has power, handles the bat, defends well, extremely consistent, extremely mature. He plays like a 21-year-old, you know, and he's 18. So we're very excited about him. Garrett Callahan is another addition to our team as a grad transfer. He's a left-handed kid with some power. Came in from Ithaca College. He's a New Jersey guy, and he's doing his grad work here. And he's done some good stuff with the bat as well. So, you know, there's some other pieces. And then, you know, we have a freshman catcher, Jason Shockley, who, you know, is he's a freshman, but he's coming on. He's learning. He's, you know, there's some peaks and valleys to his progression. But a good catch and throw guy, big kid, good arm. You know, learning the offensive game at this level. And Andy Axelson, who played a lot, you know, off and on throughout his time. And Andy's continued to work hard and improve, and will be in the mix, you know, behind the plate as well. So, you know, there's a few more options in there. We don't have a lot of position players. We only have 16, but I think we have good, we have some guys that we can move around in some different combinations. Cam Love is another infielder in our program as well, who's a very good defender, played some short last year when Danny DiGiorgio went down, and he can defend at a high level at second, short, and third. Good runner. And then we have one other freshman infielder, Danny Rogers, left-handed hitter, that, you know, playing some third base for us. So those are our 16 position guys, and it's a good core. Again, it's a nice blend of experience and people you can trust, and good role models and people that understand what it takes to put together a long season, as well as exciting, you know, new players, freshmen and transfers that we're still figuring out.
I want to turn now to the pitchers, because you mentioned it a little bit. That's a little less certain for Rutgers baseball this year. You're replacing the entire weekend starting rotation because all three of those guys, Harry Rutkowski, Brent Teller, and Ben Wawreski, signed pro baseball contracts last summer. Before I turn to who will pitch this year, how cool is it for the program? How much easier does it make it of a sell when you have all three of your starters from last year go and sign pro ball contracts?
Yeah, well, I mean, we should be having our weekend starting pitchers, you know, once they become of age, should be drafted and or have the opportunity to go into pro baseball if we're doing a good job, and if they're doing a good job. So, you know, I think that should be more of the norm than not the norm, you know, at this level. But, you know, and I feel there's, you know, this is a year we could have several players drafted out of our program, you know, across the board, positionally as well as on the mound. But yeah, we're happy for those three guys. You know, again, it is nice to be able to say, hey, that your arm's got an opportunity to go out and pitch. And that's motivation for the young guys too, right? To work hard to earn those roles and see if, because everyone playing at this level should have the goal and aspiration of going on and playing after college.
Well, now we turn to who we'll see as your starting pitchers this year? I know there are some grad transfers. There's a couple guys who did start for you last year who return with a year of experience. Who do you expect to factor into the weekend rotation?
Well, Brian Fitzpatrick will be one who was in the bullpen for us last year, had a really exciting summer for Brewster in the Cape, where he was a starter and put up very consistent good numbers. And, you know, had a setback in the fall with a broken foot, but he's healthy. He's building up his innings right now, and he's pitched very well. So outside of him being kind of a lock, in my opinion, there's a lot of other innings up for bids among several people. And it might be a lot of guys pitching just when their name's called, you know. So it might be guys pitching, you know, shorter stints, 3 or 4 inning stints, 2 or 3 guys per game to kind of get it to the bullpen. And so, however, you know, we're going to figure that out. But, you know, clearly I think Fitz could be a special starter. And then, you know, again, we have 7 or 8 other guys that I think could be in the mix for those type of inning roles.
And then let's jump to the bullpen, the back end specifically. I think of a guy like Dale Stanovich, who was your closer last year, led the team with 5 saves, and then went to the Cape Cod League for the summer and was one of the top pitchers there, won a league title with Brewster. Where have you seen improvement from him?
Well, just jumping from junior college last year to our team, you know, that's a big jump. I don't think he got to play much the year before either, but Dale showed some great stuff last year, especially in the second half of the season for us. And then he had a wonderful summer where he was a stud, you know, for Brewster, and their team won the Cape Cod League, and he did a lot of great stuff out there. He really opened up a lot of eyes, and he's very athletic. He's got really fast twitch arm. He throws hard. I mean, he was up to 95 on Friday, coming out of the bullpen for us this weekend. His slider is really improved, you know, so he's got in addition to velocity and kind of a riding fastball, he also now has kind of a wipeout slider to go in his arsenal. So I think he could be great. He could be a great closer this year. He's fast. He fields his position well. Like, there's a lot of little things he does too. He's very athletic. He might be the fastest kid on our team. So he's just, he's a super athlete. Kid's like 5'10". He can dunk a basketball. And he's, you know, he's got a chance to have a special year and, you know, get out and be a pro pitcher after this year.
Well, we know who we'll see in the lineup. We know who we're going to see on the mound. And it all starts for Rutgers baseball. Friday, February 18th, you're going to go down to Houston, Texas, play a couple of games against Houston Baptist as part of one of several early season tournaments and trips you're going to make. And you touched on this earlier, Steve, the importance and the value of having the opportunity to play non-conference games for a month or so before you have to get into the Big Ten slate, unlike last year. Just go further on that. I mean, what do you expect to get done over that first month that you weren't able to do when you dove right into playing Minnesota in Minneapolis last year?
Yeah, we're trying to win every game, obviously, and win weekends. But, you know, these are good RPI games, you know, to build a resume. It's fun to travel around the country and compete at different, you know, against schools from different conferences and different venues and different climates and different fields and atmospheres. It's very, you know, it's fun to do that. It's part of a regular season, especially as a Northeast team. Whereas if you were a Southern team, you would be home bringing people to you in the same context. But we'll be traveling and playing very good teams. It'll give us the opportunity, you know, to compete in weekends and figure our stuff out, potentially figure out our pitching and our defensive rotations and things like that before we get into Big Ten play, which is more normal. And then, you know, once we start playing midweek games, it's really important for the position players. Like, you know, with expanded rosters due to Major League Baseball's draft being smaller and the number of minor league teams being lessened, there's a lot of older players in college baseball. And in the Big Ten, and with expanded rosters in college baseball, you have some really talented arms. So it was a challenge to the hitters to play Friday, Saturday, and Sunday against, you know, conference-only pitching, and then not have any at-bats again in the middle of the week until you get to the next Friday starter. That's hard. Getting the Tuesday and the Wednesday games, it gets you back in a rhythm defensively. It gets you back in game mode. It gets your 3 or 4 or 8 at-bats a week so that you're not starting over from scratch. So it's important to the offense as well and the defense. And it's less practice and more playing, you know, which is why this is a game that's meant to be played a lot. So, you know, baseball is not a game, you know, professional baseball is played every day. And, you know, college baseball for the short, you know, 3.5 months is played, you know, 4 days probably out of a 7 day week. And on some days, 5. So that's what normal is. And we're hoping to experience that for the first time in a long time. Some of our players that are juniors haven't experienced any normalcy yet in their collegiate careers. So we're excited for that.
I can't overlook the spring break trip for Rutgers baseball this year. First time ever, the Scarlet Knights are headed to Hawaii. You're going to play 4 games over 3 days there. How excited are you and the guys to go to Hawaii for spring break and get to play some baseball?
We're excited. That trip was actually scheduled and on the books when I got the job here. And then, you know, we've had to decide what we're going to keep and not keep. And we made some changes to how we schedule going forward. But that was certainly one that we decided was a good idea. And we kept that because it's a special trip, right? Like, I've never been there and I've been doing this for a long time. And I think it's exciting for our players. It's a good recruiting tool. And, you know, who's not going to enjoy, you know, going out to Hawaii for 6 days to play some baseball. So instead of playing games in the middle of the week, like we normally do on a spring break when we're gone for a full week of school, we're going to stay there and practice for a day or two and then start the travel back, you know, maybe Tuesday night, so that when we get back to we're playing Nebraska Omaha the following weekend. And instead of coming all the way back to the East Coast, we're going to stop there. But we're going to come back and give our bodies some time to hydrate and rest and recover and get back on schedule. Because I think that's one of the most difficult things about going to Hawaii, based on doing some research, is what your body feels like on the way home. So we didn't play in the middle of the week. We're traveling earlier and then just trying to recover before going into another 3-game weekend.
And then for Rutgers baseball fans back home in New Jersey, the home opener is Tuesday, March 8th against Wagner, the first of 24 games at Baton Field. We're going to see a whole bunch of teams come to Piscataway, Big Ten series against top teams like Indiana and Maryland. What's your message to Rutgers baseball fans about this team and what it can do this year?
Well, if you look at what Rutgers athletics is doing across the board right now, you know, under Pat Hobbs' leadership and with some investment in new facilities and things like that, and a little time, right? It takes a little time to be competitive in the Big Ten. I feel, you know, that we're falling right in line with a lot of our teams. There's been a lot of improvement. There should be some excitement, you know, external excitement from our fan base. People, you know, enjoying watching this level of competition, and we invite them all to come and watch us play, you know, both in the middle of the week if it fits their schedule, and also, you know, on the weekends, being able to see, you know, what Big Ten baseball is all about. And so we're very excited to have some normalcy with that too, where people are allowed to come in, you know, and come and watch the game without, you know, maybe without testing or without, you know, masking and stuff like that. We'll see what the outdoor protocols are when we get to that point. But I think things should be pretty normal. And that's exciting, you know, for people's parents and people and fans of Rutgers. And then hopefully, you know, we don't just, you know, regain people that used to come to the games. Hopefully we gain some more excitement and interest with success and people come and watch us play because it's important. We did a wonderful job as a program last year, our players did, of winning on the road. You know, we led the Big Ten in road wins with 13. And that's really hard to do, but we did it. And now we need to, you know, try to do that again. But we also, you know, really need people and fans here to help create some atmosphere and some excitement for our players, because we want to do the same thing at home as we did on the road last year.
All right, we're looking forward to seeing what Rutgers baseball can do. Should be an exciting season of baseball at Baton Field, and good to spend a couple of minutes learning more about this team with the head coach, Steve Owens. Steve, best of luck this season. Thanks for your time, as always.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
All righty. Thanks again, Steve. It all gets started for Rutgers baseball next Friday, February 18th. The Scarlet Knights head to Texas for a 3-game set against Houston Baptist. And keep an eye on this team as the season goes on. There are 24 home games at Baton Field. They start on March 8th against Wagner. And that'll do it for another one of our spring preview episodes. Until next time, I'm Dom Savino. Thanks for listening to the Inside Rutgers Athletics Podcast.